Ruth chapter 2 tonight. If you'll stand with you, find your place, Ruth 2. Just read one verse to you, verse number 1. So, verse number 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. You can be seated. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for giving us the word. Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Thank you for the safety and the ability to be here and the help to be here. In Jesus' name, amen. I've heard so much about politics in the past little while. I'm sick of hearing about it, to be honest with you. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that or not, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm tired of hearing about it. We won't hear the end of it until November. But anyway, I'm tired of hearing about it for now. I'm tired of the nation being run over both physically as well as spiritually, especially spiritually. I'm not here to preach on politics tonight. But I'm here to preach on steadfastness and faithfulness, and we'll get to that in a minute. And I'm tired of having to bend over and stoop down for everybody else. And the Christianity is spiritually bending down, stooping down for everybody else, trying to make everybody feel good. Scared of offending somebody. I find myself sometimes doing it while I'm studying to preach. I have to make sure, oh Lord, if I say that, this person's not going to like it. Say this. I'm tired of it. To be honest with you. I'm here to be your preacher. If I offend you, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to. But if I offend you, the Lord told me to say it. I feel like I need to say that. Anyway. Not very fun to do. Not very fun for me either. Anyway, you get the point. As long as God gives me strength, I'm going to preach what He wants me to preach. I don't care if hairless the devil. That's the North Carolina thing. I really don't know what it means. But anyway, they say that. By God's grace, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be steadfast. And no matter what comes, no matter how big the church, how small, no matter what, I'm going to be faithful. That's my heart tonight. That's what I'm going to try to preach on tonight, is faithfulness. If I need to say that. Tonight I'm going to study and focus on this one verse, verse number 1. And we'll move around a little bit and to a couple of different books at the end of the message here. This one part really stuck out, continuing on our study in Ruth. This one verse, one part of this verse stuck out to one person, stuck out to me. In fact, we need to stick here for a little bit. At least this message tonight. I feel there's a lot here we can learn. So Ruth, chapter 2, we read about verse number 1, we read about Boaz. I'm going to preach on tonight. The Lord's help, preaching a few minutes on staying right in a world that's going left. I know it's not political, but anyway, we'll get to that. So we've covered a good bit here in Ruth. Elimelech, back in chapter 1, got his family. They packed up and moved out of Canaan land. We preached on all that. Down there, they decided not only to sojourn, he decided to continue. They did. Elimelech died. His sons married. His sons dwelled. His sons died. And now his widow's two daughter-in-laws were left alone. His sons' widows were left alone. Naomi gets word about home. She decides to return. We have Ruth, picture the lost sinner who repents and gets saved and comes to the Christian life, lives that way, and going to Canaan land with her mother-in-law. To serve her mother-in-law's God, Jehovah, the one true God, who preached on that. Ruth gave up Moab to live for God. The picture of salvation, giving up the past, giving up her sin, turning from that repentance and turning to living for the Lord. It made a big impact when they showed up in Bethlehem. They came back home, made a big impact there. People saw, people talked, but Naomi was finally home. She brought a visitor. Not a visitor anymore. We see God's providence bringing Naomi and Ruth into Canaan land, beginning a barley harvest there in the end of chapter number 1. We talked about that. I don't believe you can't convince me that was coincidence. They showed up in the barley harvest. The Lord had that planned. He worked that out. So now we get to chapter number 2. In verse 1, we're introduced to another main character in the story that we haven't met yet. It says that Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. The man named Boaz. Look at this man Boaz for just a few moments to see what we can learn just real quick from him. And there's a lot more we'll get to later on in the book of Ruth, but just as his first introduction here, I think there's a lot we can learn. Number 1, we see his family. Boaz, his family. It says, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's. And it says later on, of the family of Elimelech. You see his family, of Boaz. He has a near kinsman of Elimelech. He's part of the family of Naomi. A near kinsman. Some historians say he's a nephew of Elimelech. Scripture doesn't tell us. It really doesn't matter. The point is, he's a near kinsman. There's one closer. We'll get to that later on as well. He is a near kinsman. Other than being in the same family as Elimelech, what else do we know about Boaz? Who else is his family? Who else can we find in Scripture that's related to Boaz? Well, we get their lineage in Matthew chapter number 1. And Aram begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Salmon, and Salmon begat Boaz of Rachel. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. His family is not just a normal Jewish family. Boaz's mother is Rahab. Rachel. Who is Rahab? Rahab the harlot. You find her over in Joshua when the people of Israel conquered the nation of Jericho. Rahab the harlot is Boaz's mother. Not your normal Jewish family. So Rahab the harlot, saved from destruction, placed in Israel with Israel, found Salmon, about said Salmon, Salmon marries him, and they have their son Boaz. The Lord works in mysterious ways, and I don't have an explanation for all those things. The Lord chose to allow her to live. It's grace. It's the only answer for it. This just proves what I've said over and over again. It's not about me, and it's not about you, and what we can do for the Lord. It's what if he can use a harlot in his lineage, lineage of Jesus Christ, what are we to brag about ourselves? We're nothing. It doesn't matter what we've done. We're nothing. In his eyes, we're all sinners. So we see Boaz, his interesting family. Son to a harlot, turned Israelite. Probably nephew to an Israelite, backslidden to a Moabite. Messed up family. His family, see his faithfulness. Verse number 22, Ruth chapter 1, verse 22. That last verse before chapter 2. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. So where are they at? They're in Bethlehem. Verse number, chapter 2, verse number 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. So once you see one thing here, and this is the main crux of the message, we're going to add on this a little bit here. Where is Boaz? It's not a trick question. Where is he at? He's in Bethlehem. It says in verse 22 of chapter 1, they came to Bethlehem. Verse number 1, they found Boaz. They're in Bethlehem. Where's Boaz? He's in Bethlehem. Boaz has fields. We'll find out later. He has servants and houses and authority. And what does that mean? It means Boaz didn't leave Bethlehem. It means Boaz didn't leave. He, back in chapter 1, they were in a famine. Boaz, a man with fields and farms, in a drought, in a famine. It's not a good time to be a farmer. Yet Boaz, we find in chapter 2, is still the same farmer, still has the field, still has the servants, maybe new servants, I don't know. He's still doing well there in Bethlehem. He didn't leave and come back, and he still has it. Elimelech, the kinsman to Boaz, sojourned to Moab, probably in search of food, no doubt. And Boaz, as we can see here, stayed in Canaan land. Elimelech continued in Moab. Boaz continued in the promised land. Elimelech died in Moab. Boaz prospered in the promised land. Elimelech left behind a family. Boaz is going to care for that family in the promised land. You see a pattern here. What's the one word we could use to describe Boaz just from the one verse we find above? What's one word we can see, learn from him? He's faithful. It says in chapter 1, verse number 1, now it came to pass in days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. There's a famine. We already covered all that. We know there's a famine. They left to get find food. Boaz remained. Through the trial, through the famine, Boaz remained faithful to the place he's supposed to be. He didn't lose his land, didn't lose anything. He still has it. Boaz stayed in the promise, staying where he's supposed to be, stayed where God put him, even when it got hard. Boaz stayed where God placed his family, even when it seemed like he shouldn't. Boaz stayed where God put him, even when part of his family was leaving. Boaz stayed where God put him. No doubt he saw Elimelech leave their family, his kinsmen, near kinsmen. No doubt they knew. It was a big talk of the town when Naomi came back. No doubt everybody knew when she left. There's a big family in town. No doubt it was the talk of the town. They knew about it. Oh, come on, Boaz. We're going to go find some food. Come on, come with us, Boaz. May have said. I don't know. You do what you got to do, Boaz. You got to get food. One generation before us, for them, finally fought and finally got into Canaan land. But oh, come on, Boaz. That's old fashioned now. Let's just go down to Moab. It's easier down to Moab. It was different for them, different for our fathers, different for us now. It's harder to live in Canaan land now than it used to be. There's a famine. It's harder to remain faithful now than it used to be. There's so much more opposition now than it used to be. We have a famine now, Boaz, don't you understand? Boaz remained in Canaan despite the famine. He remained in Canaan despite the hard times, despite the exodus of his own family. Boaz says, this is where God put me. This is where I'm going to stay. We find him remaining. Can I encourage you tonight, church, do the same? This is where God put me. This is where I'm going to stay. So he tells me to go somewhere else. You young men, if God answers my prayers and calls some of you to preach, one day God's going to place you somewhere. Can I encourage you now, stay where God puts you. If that's here, stay here. If it's somewhere else, stay there. It's not always easy. I'll be completely honest and transparent with you. It's rarely easy. God makes it worth it. Just stay. Put down some roots and stay. I've never looked at Boaz in this light before today. Boaz, I see him as faithful. Imagine with me the prayer time at Boaz's house. Lord, are you sure this is where I ought to be? Lord, this trial sure is hard. Lord, there's no food for my family. Lord, there's a famine in the land. My family, Elimelech's gone. No doubt they've got food now. Lord, it's getting hard here. Lord, is this still right? We see his steadfastness. Lord didn't tell him to leave. He didn't leave. He dug his heels in. He said, I'm not going to go anywhere until God says so. I was praying about this message today. This verse came to mind. Proverbs 6:6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. No, we don't have many ants around here. Thank goodness for that. Definitely no fire ants. But if you've ever been around fire ants, then you understand, back in North Carolina, terrible. We used to get them in the summer. You get big mounds of fire ants all in your yard, and you kick them over, come back the next day, the hill's built back again. Kick them over, come back the next day, the hill's built back again. You can't kill them, can't get rid of them. You have to hire some pest to come in and kill them, get them off your yard. They're faithful, they're steadfast. No matter what comes their way, no matter who kicks them off their house, they build their house back again. No matter what comes, they don't leave. Proverbs says, go to the ant, thou slur, consider her ways and be wise. A lot we can learn from the little ant, their faithfulness. It doesn't matter how many times their home is destroyed, they keep on rebuilding. It doesn't matter what heartache or trouble comes your way, don't quit on God. Remain faithful. God has given you the peace and the liberty. It's not, God has not given you peace and liberty and the ability to move. You have no business moving. Heartache or not, famine or not, be faithful. Remain faithful. Boaz, we see, was faithful. Just like a little fire ant hung in there. And guess what? God blessed him for it. We see that in this verse as well. Number three, we see his might. Again, chapter 2, verse 1. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth. A mighty man. Get that wealth in a man. We see his strength. That word mighty means powerful, a warrior, a champion. It means to be a chief or a valiant man. It means Boaz came out of the famine a valiant, powerful, and a mighty man coming through a famine. Elimelech abandoned his post when trouble came. Boaz came through the battle and was mighty and valiant at the end of it. He went through the famine and the heartache and whatever else came along with that famine. We don't know what all happened in Canaan then during that famine because he left. Elimelech left. He dealt with, no doubt, dealt with some loss, probably loss of cattle, probably lost some crops and everything during a famine. He even lost some of his family. They left. Probably his uncle died in Moab. He lost some things, lost some people, lost some farms, no doubt. It reminds me of the three Hebrew boys, and they ate the pulse in the water and drank the water. Came out stronger at the end than they had been in the beginning. And those that the kings meet. Read about Daniel, his three Hebrew boys, and how they were tested for the 10 days, and the next 3 years they ate pulse and had water to drink. Everybody else ate ribeye steaks. They came out stronger at the end. Boaz came out stronger, came out a valiant and a mighty man of wealth after a famine. Boaz went to the same famine Elimelech did, yet he remained faithful. Elimelech ends up dead and childless. Boaz ends up blessed and a mighty man. Don't you tell me God doesn't reward faithfulness. You need more men and more ladies to be hard-headed for the Lord. You're all hard-headed, be harder for the Lord. I don't know what to say that either. Get myself in trouble. Put your hands to the plow and just keep on plowing for the Lord. Stay faithful to the Lord, whether it's fun or not, whether it's hard or not. Stay faithful. We see his might. We see his wealth. That word wealth there has the meaning of riches and substance, like what you normally think of with wealth. It means he had a lot of riches. He had fields and he had servants. He had all these things. That word wealth also means a force, whether of men or resources. It means Boaz had people. He had servants. He had farms. He had land. He had employees, servants. It means Boaz had a lot of things. The Lord blessed him. He was abundantly blessed. He was a powerful man, used of God. God saw this Boaz. Born to a woman who had once had nothing, he remained faithful and God blessed him with much. The son of a harlot, the mighty man of wealth, because he's faithful to God. You can't be faithful in the small, if you can't be faithful in the small things, never expect God to bless you with the big things. You can't be faithful in a famine, don't expect God to give you the wealth to be faithful in the wealth. If you can't tithe on $10, God's not going to give you $100 to tithe on. If you don't tithe $100, you'll never be able to tithe on $1,000. Boaz was a mighty man of wealth. I believe it all goes back to God's blessings on him because of his faithfulness. You're going to see a lot more about Boaz here in this book of Ruth. A lot more good things. God's going to use him. Boaz started out faithful. Paul says he kind of be faithful, put him in the ministry. I believe it's a prerequisite to be used to God. Faithfulness. Would you be willing to be faithful in a little? Some folks want to go do the big things, or the mission field. Won't be faithful to the house of God. Some folks want to go do the great big things. They can get their name up in life, the fun things. Don't want to be faithful to the small things. You can't be trusted with the little things. Don't expect God to give you the big things. Boaz was faithful in a famine, and God blessed him in the end. Faithful with the big things. We see his wealth, we see his might, we see his future. We already know a lot about Boaz, and you know a lot that I haven't mentioned yet. You've heard the story before. I'm not going to go through the entire story here in Ruth. We'll get to that later on. But Boaz is going to be used of God to do great things. He's a humble man, a loving man, a gracious man, as we'll see. He's also a mighty man, used of God. God's continue to bless him and going to continue to use him. He's going to allow him to be in the lineage of Christ. I believe it's because he was faithful. Boaz is going to end up being the great-grandpa of King David. He's faithful. What would happen if Boaz quit and went to Moab? Probably be dead with Elimelech. God used him. God used a man in Canaan land. Remember, Canaan land is a picture of the center of God's will, spirit-filled Christian life. He used a man in Canaan land who was willing to be faithful to Canaan land, even when Canaan land wasn't even easy to be faithful to. He's faithful to the Lord's will when the Lord's will wasn't easy to be faithful to. Even the hard times, Boaz, are you willing to stay? Are you willing to remain? Are you willing to sacrifice just to be where God told you to be? 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ to the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. Then they're sanctified in Christ. He's called to be saints with all them that are in every place, called upon the name of our Jesus Christ, the Lord, both theirs and ours. 2 Corinthians 1, 1. I'm going somewhere with this. Hang on. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints, which are all in Achaia. Both times Paul mentions the Corinthian church, he references them as unto the church. Galatians 1, 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all brethren which are with me, unto the churches of Galatia. He calls the Galatian church the churches of Galatia. This is what he should call them. 1 Thessalonians 1, 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Thessalonian church, the church of Thessalonica, he calls it the church of Thessalonians. References the church. He addresses each of these churches unto the church. That's how he addresses them. Ephesians 1, 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, but will God unto the saints, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. I was reading this morning. That's what first, I was, came here first and came back to Ruth and found the same thing. There's something different about a church in Ephesians, in Ephesus. There's still a church. Why didn't Paul call them the church at Ephesus? He references them differently. He calls them about it differently. He calls them saints. He calls them faithful in Christ Jesus. What's different about them? Did they not have a church? Of course they had a church. That's why he's writing to the church. Paul's addressed them differently. They're Gentiles like the other churches are. They're living in a pagan area with pagan rituals and pagan gods. We read about Ephesus as a wicked place. But yet there's this church there. They don't have the blessing of the town. They're not popular in the town they're in. But yet, Paul chose to address them by calling them saints and faithful. Something different about that church in Ephesus. All these other churches, and Paul will correct those churches as he writes to them. He calls them unto the church of God. That's a good thing to be part of a church. These Ephesians, a little different. Not only a church, they were faithful. And faithful despite where they were in, despite the conditions they were living in. In our nation today, there are a lot of things falling apart. The law and order is almost gone. We can talk about all those things, and I'll get mad with you about all those things. I don't want to talk about it, so don't talk about it. We're told we're full of hate by some folks that do nothing but hate. In our day and age, there's one thing I want to be known for. I want to be faithful. No matter what everybody else does, no matter what the other churches do, no matter what everybody else around us does, no matter what our nation does, no matter what our Uncle Elimelech does, I want to be faithful. What God's told me to do. I pray that when I'm old and I'm dying, Lord tarries that long. If they can't say anything else, I want to be known as faithful. I don't want to quit when it got hard. I don't want my kids to grow up talking about when Daddy used to be a preacher. Let me remain faithful. Boaz, a man who stayed right in a world that went left. Could that be said about us? Remain faithful. God used him. God blessed him. God's going to continue to use him, continue to bless him. Going to be in the lineage of Jesus Christ. He was faithful. Lord, thank you for staying. Forgiveness. Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Lord, thank you for the encouragement, the challenge in your scriptures today. Lord, pray up our church and pray up my stumbling words to help somebody here. In Jesus' name.